From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. What kind of speech would Martin Luther King Jr. deliver if he won the Nobel Peace Prize today? In a few minutes, we'll hear what that speech might sound like from one Dallas fifth grader. We'll start with a speech the civil rights leader delivered here in North Texas. In 1966, Martin Luther King Jr. was invited to Southern Methodist University by their student senate. Diana Douglas talks with an SMU alum who remembers that day clearly.
The student body of Southern Methodist University was mostly white, wealthy, and Southern in 1966. Charles Cox says the campus was roused by the civil rights movement.
It was just at the time when these walls were starting to be broken down. And of course, it was not welcomed by everybody. And there were some significant debates on the campus, and people took sides.
Cox was a junior and a member of the student senate that invited Dr. King to address the campus on March 17, 1966. He and his friend Bert Moore picked up Dr. King at Love Field. They ferried him to Oak Lawn United Methodist Church to speak to the Dallas Pastors Association, and then on to SMU.
Oh my goodness, just the excitement of meeting this Nobel Prize winner and finding him to be such a warm and interesting and, you know, not just a famous person who gives a great speech, but with all this charisma and natural charm.
Dr. King had been scheduled to speak at SMU before, but the invitation was rescinded out of fear for his safety in Dallas, the city where John F. Kennedy had been assassinated a few years earlier. Nearly 3,000 people packed into the McFarland Auditorium to hear Dr. King, many standing in the back. Cox gave him a brief introduction and then handed over the podium.
I need not pause to say how very delighted and honored I am to be on the campus of this great institution of learning.
He had no notes. He spoke for 55 minutes. I gave him the title of his speech 5 minutes before he spoke. But he was so gifted. He didn't need notes. He had an eloquence. It was remarkable.
By 1966, Dr. King had seen the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act signed into law. His focus had partly shifted from fighting segregation to fighting poverty, something he emphasized at SMU.
It is necessary to develop massive training programs. It is necessary to lift the minimum wage and extend the coverage so that all of God's children will have the basic necessities of life. We live in a great nation, the greatest nation, the richest nation on the face of the earth. And I submit this afternoon that any nation that can spend billions of dollars to put a man on the moon and spend billions of dollars to put a man on his own 2 feet here on earth.
He stirred within me the feeling of fighting to fight for justice and to break down the walls of segregation and give people, all people, an opportunity in our country for a good life.
We will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children all over this nation, black men and white men, Protestants and Catholics, Jews and Gentiles, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last." Thank you.
Dr. King received a standing ovation from the crowd, which included many SMU workers in groundskeeper uniforms. He left Dallas that evening to continue his campaign for fair housing in Chicago. When Martin Luther King was assassinated 2 years later, Cox was on his way to becoming a United Methodist minister. He will celebrate the Martin Luther King holiday by marching in an SMU parade to honor Dr. King's legacy and the day their paths crossed nearly 50 years ago. For KERA News, I'm Diana Douglas.
More than a decade earlier, another man was inspiring others. In 1953, Benjamin Kelly became the first black athlete to enroll at the San Angelo College, a year before Brown v. Board of Education outlawed segregation in public schools. Phil George was an assistant football coach at San Angelo at the time. He sat down in the StoryCorps booth to talk with his daughter, Judy Haven, about Ben Kelly's first season with the team.
Did the university at large embrace him?
When Ben was allowed to enroll, of course, word spread in the local black community. So two young ladies that were just finishing Blackshear High School came out and went to the registrar's office and they enrolled. But now here's the tough part, Judy. The state was still segregated. So Ben couldn't eat in restaurants with the team. He couldn't stay in motels with the team. So when we'd go on the road, we'd have to find a separate place for Ben to stay, because at those days, at least that first year, we couldn't get anybody to accept him. Now, the beauty part about Ben is that he'd been living this life, even in the military. So he said, "Coach, don't worry about me. I can handle it. I can handle it." Well, that didn't sit well with the coaches or the players, because he's part of us. He's one of us. So the deal was, on most places, they would feed him, but he'd have an option of either eating in the kitchen or staying on the bus. Well, the white players wouldn't allow that as far as staying on the bus, so they say, "Come on, Ben, we're going to eat in the kitchen." And until many years later, I thought they were doing that to protect Ben, and they were in a way, but they were doing it for ulterior motives. They found out they get more to eat if they eat in the kitchen, so. But they were wonderful.
That's great.
About that. About 3 years ago, I asked Ben, he was in a nursing home at the time, and I said, "Ben, it's always been amazing to me, because when you were playing football for us, they called you every name in the book, and they broke your nose every year because we didn't have face masks in those days. And they would cheap shot him and step on his hands when he'd get up from running with the ball and all, and they'd call him every name you can imagine. And all you do is get back in the huddle and just go play harder." And I said, "I never figured out how you were strong enough to handle that, plus the deals of not staying with us, not eating with us, and all that." He said, "Oh, Coach," he said, "it's my mother." And I said, "Tell me, what was it about your mother?" He said, "Well, you know, there are five kids in my family, and my mother told all of us. And she'd say, 'Ben, when other people call you bad names or treat you dirty or try to get you in a fight, remember, that's their problem, not yours. Don't you make it your problem.'"
Wow. Yeah.
Now, that's profound, but try to live that. That's the part that's admirable to me, that he lived that.
That was Phil George, who visited the StoryCorps mobile booth with his daughter, Judy Haven, in Dallas. Benjamin Kelly died November 14, 2014, at age 83. He was inducted into the Texas Black Sports Hall of Fame last year. If Martin Luther King Jr. won the Nobel Peace Prize today, what would he say in his acceptance speech? Dallas students answered that question for the annual Gardier MLK Oratory Competition. Dallas fifth grader Yatana King was this year's winner. Here's an excerpt of her speech.
"If Dr. King were to win the Nobel Peace Prize today, I believe his acceptance speech would be inspiring and profound. Dr. King would say, he accepts this Peace Prize in the spirit of the Good Samaritan. The first question which the priest and the Levite asked was, 'If I stop to help this man, what will happen to me?' But the Good Samaritan reversed the question, saying, 'If I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him?' Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more backwards thinking. Time for thinking ahead. No, the world won't get much better if we just let it be. No, the world won't get no better. We gotta make a change. Just you and me. Thank you."
That was Yatana King, a fifth grader at John Neely Bryan Elementary School in Dallas. She took first place this year at the annual Gardier Martin Luther King Jr. Oratory Competition. For the evening, clear skies, a low around 54. Tomorrow should be sunny with a high near 65. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.